First Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 16. If you have that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. I got my watch, so I'm going to watch it. Glory to God until it starts watching me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity, help me to say necessity.
Necessity.
For necessity is laid upon me.
That's right.
Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Yes.
For if I do this thing willingly,
yes,
I have a reward.
Yes.
But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge.
Yes.
That I abuse not my power in the gospel. The subject for today is the necessity of preaching.
Yes.
Would you just say with me, the necessity,
necessity
of preaching.
That's
all right. Thank you, Lord.
Preaching is an important thing.
Yes.
Well,
unfortunately, in this generation, the emphasis on preaching is generally, especially from this chapter, taken back to the 9th verse, which says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The God take care for oxen, or saith he it all together for our sake, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope.
Yeah.
That he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope.
Yes, sir.
And I've sown you spiritual things, and is it a great thing if I should reap your carnal thing? Yeah. But I want to just tell you, child of God,
well,
that lest you might have seen distorted from time to time.
Well,
just because the distortions and the exaggerations are there, does not mean that the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, is not important.
Right.
It is yet.
Yes, it is.
Important.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, it is.
We are part of a generation and a time in the world where there is so much misunderstanding regarding preaching.
Right.
There is confusion regarding preaching.
Well,
and there is abuse in preaching.
That's right.
But I want to tell you that while there is the presence of all of these misguided things, there is something good about the preaching of the Word of God. This man of God begins by letting us know, Paul says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of.
No, sir.
I want to just stop right here and burst somebody's bubble. I want to just stop right here and just tell it like it is, because there's a major problem when it comes down to how people are beginning to see themselves even behind the pulpit. I've heard many using the phrase, and I want to tell you, I just believe you really ought to stop using it. The phrase is, it's a poor frog that don't praise his own tongue. But in the book, the man of God said, if I preach, I shouldn't get any glory.
All right.
I might get some wages, but only God gets the glory.
Yeah.
I may be compensated, but only God gets the glory. And I'm here to tell you that there is a distortion in the preaching, because now preachers want the glory and the compensation.
Yeah.
Oh, But he says, I have nothing to glory about. Because this is necessity. Necessity is laid upon me. He says, woe is me. I'm going to have to meet this. If I preach not the gospel. And I'm going to just make sure that it's clear tonight that I'm qualifying the preacher that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the preaching of the gospel. I'm not just talking about preaching. Hello, somebody. I'm not just talking about preaching. I'll even go to say to you that there's a lot of preaching that's going on the radio now. I'm not even talking about the gospel radio. I'm talking about the secular radio. There's a lot of preaching. They call it rap. But they are just timing the word. And if they would have a musician behind them backing them up, it sounds just like somebody preaching. They're not even trying to sing. They're just trying to talk it out. And they are preaching a wrong word to damn men's hearts and lives. But I'm here to tell you that what we're talking about tonight is the preaching of the gospel.
Come on now.
The man of God says, if I do it willingly, I have a reward.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I just think that this is not a testimony.
My God.
To brag about, you know, God just took me.
My God.
He was calling me. But I wouldn't say yes.
Woo, God.
And God brought me down.
My Lord.
God did this to me. God threw me on the back on the bed of affliction. And I was sick and I said, Lord, I surrender. It's a confession, but it's not a testimony. Because the privilege of preaching the gospel is one of the highest privileges that can be afforded any human being. And we ought to have a heart to do it. If God counted us worthy and say, I'm going to put you in the ministry, you ought to say, Lord, if that's something you want me to do, as long as you enable me, I am willing to do it.
That's right. That's right.
Said, and I'll get a reward.
Thank you.
I know that sometimes people try to make it seem like you're being spiritual. You say, you know, do it looking for nothing.
My God.
But that is absolutely not the way the word teaches. It teaches us to look for the reward. In other words, believe that God is not so poor. That God cannot pay us with an eternity for the things that we do in his name. He says there's a reward. And if I preach the gospel and I do it because I don't want to do it, what is my reward? Well, one thing he makes clear, even if the reward is not clear, he says the dispensation of the assignment is still on me.
Still on.
Because it's on us whether we do it or not.
Yes.
And if we walk away from the ministry, it's still on us.
Still.
If we go back into the world, it's still on us. Hallelujah. No matter what happens in your life, the call of God is on your life. And if God puts a call there and say, come here, I'm here to tell you, he'll never change his mind and say, that's all right.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Preach, preacher.
The call is still there.
That's right.
And then the man of God makes it clear that there is so much abuse. There's misunderstanding regarding preaching. I would say that probably at the top of the list, the misunderstanding is I can preach whatever God puts on my heart. That's the first error in preaching. Many of you have read from Isaiah 58. And you remember reading in that chapter about the fast that God has chosen. But I want to just point you down to one of those lower verses, like the 13th verse, where he says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, and from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him. Help me to say, honor him.
Honor him.
Shall honor him not doing thine own way.
Well,
that's number one. Nor finding thine own pleasure. That's number two. And the last one is, nor speaking thine own words.
All right.
The great privilege of the gospel preacher is to speak as the oracles of God.
That's right.
Not my words.
Yes.
And it's a shame, but it happens very often.
Oh, yes.
That we stand behind the pulpit and address things that are on our mind.
That's right.
I would just say, even to preachers.
Come on.
And to women in the ministry.
Well, come
on. Don't feed people with your pain.
That's right.
Feed them with the word of God. You might be going through ever so much, and you might think that somehow, if I tell them what's going on with me, then they will be encouraged. But sometimes they feel more defeat. Because if you can't make it, how can I make it?
That's right.
All right.
There's confusion.
Hallelujah.
I said there's confusion. There's confusion regarding the preaching of the word of God.
Well,
Paul wrote to Timothy. You know this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. He said, preach the word. I charge you, he says, before God. And I charge you before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead. Preach the word. Preach the word. You have a charge. And we will be judged. Preach the word.
Preach the word.
Don't preach your opinion.
Amen.
Don't preach your trouble.
Amen.
You know, Lord help me here. Sometimes we get up behind the podium and we know something's going on that needs to be addressed.
That's right.
And we began to, instead of feeding the flock, we began to straighten stuff out. And I'm here to tell you that is not preaching the word. Preach the word, he says, and I want to tell you, fussing is not included.
That's right.
In preaching the word.
That's right. Come on.
Come on now.
Be instant.
In season.
In season. Which means be ready.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Thank you, God.
I know sometimes we're part of this generation about, you know, just when you get up, just let the Holy Ghost give it to you. Just put it out there. But some kind of way, whether you write it down or don't write it down, you need to be ready.
That's right.
Because you're not instant if you're not ready. Be ready and be prepared to preach the word. Anytime you see the word instant, you ought to think about instant coffee.
That's right.
You ought to think about instant grits.
Well,
instant means it didn't come there to be prepared.
It's already.
Already prepared.
Yes, sir.
Be instant.
Yes.
I read over there in the book where he talks about the preacher, and he says, the preacher found good things and set them in order. Don't ramble when you preach. Because if you're rambling, it means you're not being instant. That means you're not ready. Be ready when you preach.
Yes. Amen.
Be instant in season and out of season. He says, reprove. That means bring to conviction.
Yes.
And that's only possible through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah. The Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Who reproves the world of sin. He says, rebuke. Now I know that we've got a connotation of rebuke, but it is possible for us to go back and see what rebuke in Paul's day actually means. And it does not just mean fuss at. Actually, it doesn't mean fuss at all. It means, glory to God, to admonish. It means to charge. It actually means, this is interesting, it means to show honor to. It means to raise the price of.
Right.
Come on.
When a person gets a rebuke, they should be someone that you value.
Yes.
Don't spend your time, preacher.
Yes.
Rebuking people who have no value.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Lord, help me today.
Thank you, Lord.
Exhort.
Well,
to exhort doesn't just mean get up and say some words, raising your voice. It actually means to call near.
My God.
Glory to God. Reminds me of what the basketball coach does when somebody is out there, they're doing something and it's not quite what they want them to do. Uh-huh. And they're while there's a foul and the person is not the one shooting, the coach will call him to the sideline and then begin to tell him how he needs him to do this. And he says, yeah. And send him on back out there. I'm here to tell you that sometimes what a preacher needs to do is be ready and able to call the people of God near.
That's right.
And say, this is your assignment.
Yes, sir.
Because there's coming a time when people are not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to heap to themselves teachers because they have itching ears. But to preach means to watch in all things. To preach means to endure affliction. To preach means to make full proof of thy ministry. Because there's a time to be offered that's going to come. And we want to be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. And now there's a crown laid up for me. Can you say amen? So I want to encourage you in the name of the Lord to preach the word. And let's not be a part of the confusion in the preaching.
That's right.
There is abuse in preaching.
Yes.
Tell me to say abuse in preaching.
Abuse in preaching.
The abuse in preaching comes when there's no authority. People began to take responsibility.
Yeah.
How would you just say with me, just let this sink in. Where I have no authority,
I have no responsibility.
You know, if I want to exercise some rebuking and some straightening out to Sister Maxine, somewhere down the line, she ought to just tell me, brother, you ain't responsible for me. I got somebody responsible for me. And sometimes, you know, the older preachers used to tell young preachers, you need to stay in your lane. You need to wait till you have some children before you go to rebuke it. You just preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the reason why they were saying, where you have no authority, you have no responsibility. Don't begin to act like you have a responsibility where you have no authority. And a part of that is because authority, the Bible says, is for edification. Authority is not for abuse, it's for building up. And there's a lot of foolish preaching going on. Are y'all still with me? preaching for strife and debate.
Oh God.
Foolish preaching.
Well,
preaching to add affliction to someone. Foolish preaching. There are more to preaching than the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk and declare things on the preacher's mind or to preach in a preacher's heart. There are men who preach, and there are men who preach the gospel.
Yes.
There are preachers who do foolish preaching. And then there are preachers who have chosen the foolishness of preaching.
Yes.
Foolish preaching distracts.
Yes.
Foolish preaching confuses.
Oh, Jesus.
Can I preach?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Foolish preaching creates, builds, and promotes the flesh.
Yes.
All right.
Foolish preaching generates anger and wrath and hostility. Foolish preaching points men to men rather than men to God. Foolish preaching places confidence in flesh. Foolish preaching always needs an audience and needs affirmation. But oh, I'm here to tell you that God said, I want to know if there's somebody that will honor me by speaking my word.
Yes, sir.
My God.
Thank you, Lord.
Preaching of the gospel is preaching with power. Preaching of the word with power and opening the scriptures and causing men's heart to burn because they have heard the word. Can you say amen? It's necessary. It's necessary for soul winning. It's necessary for a personal establishment and being better as a human being. And God intends for us as his children and his ministers to be preachers of the word.
That's right.
And I want to tell you that the Bible here makes clear the necessity of preaching. I'm almost there. Look at what it says again back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. God takes care for oxen. He says, and it's written, the one that plows should plow in hope, and the one that threshes should thresh in hope. And if we've sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing we should reap your carnal things? He's just reminding us that we should be like the oxen. Muzzle not the ox that's treading out the corn. The Bible makes clear to me in the book of Proverbs that the sluggard will not plow. You're not a preacher if you're too lazy to get a job. Because preaching is not for lazy people. Because the one who will not work, the Bible says he shouldn't eat.
That's right.
I've even heard people during seasons of my life when I was only preaching. My whole livelihood was tied to the gospel. And they would say, oh, you don't work. I said, I work more now than I ever did. I actually need to go back to 8 to 5 to get some rest. Oh, my Lord.
Amen.
Because preaching is work.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we need to ask the Lord to teach us how to plow. Preaching is plowing. Everybody say preaching is plowing.
Preaching is plowing.
It's in the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter. We can ask God to teach us how to plow. Look at what he says here. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day? To sow doth he open and break the clods of his ground.
Yes.
And then look down at verse 26.
Well,
he says, for his God does instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. In other words, we can say, Lord,
yes,
teach me how to plow.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you that God needs preachers,
yes,
who are willing to not just stand and just tell the story, yes, but take the word of God and begin to plow. What are you doing? I'm using the word of God, not my own word, but what God has said, because I'm trying to dig up some stuff. I know sometimes when we begin to preach the word, we want to dig up what we know about.
All right. That's the truth. All right.
But I'm here to tell you that you'll always be a limited preacher.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
When the only thing you want to preach is what you know about.
Yes.
Talk,
yes.
It's always good to not have too many voices in your ear.
Yes, sir.
Because you'll find yourself addressing,
yes,
what you heard.
Because,
yes, see here, I'm here to tell you that if you really want to plow God's way, God will give you a word, hallelujah, and you'll stand behind this desk and you'll be plowing over here and plowing over there, and neither one of them will know that you're digging in their space.
Yes, God.
Yes, God.
Yes, God.
Lord,
right,
teach me to plow. I want to just ask you. I know sometimes in this day there are arguments and debates about women's assignment and men's assignment. But I'm here to tell you that if you carry the word, the plow is in your hand. And Jesus said, if any man put his hand to the plow and look back, he's not fit for the kingdom. I'm not trying to say what you do. I'm not trying to call what you do. But I need to tell you that you have an assignment. And you need to ask the Lord, teach me to plow.
Yes, God.
Yes, God.
And sometimes people are so busy arguing about what they call me. They won't acknowledge me as a this. They won't acknowledge me as a that. And I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. And you're wasting your life.
Yes.
Because see, I'm telling you, child of God, and this goes for men and women, if you spend your time trying to make sure that they get your title right, that they get your acclimates right, that they get your notification right, I'm here to tell you, you're going to miss God getting the main thing that God want to get right. Because the question is not, will God call me bishop, or will God call me elder, or will God call me brother, or will God call me apostle, but will God call me servant? Because I'm here to tell you that only servants will he say, well done to you. Can you say praise the Lord? Say right there. And I hear the Lord saying, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy, and break up right there your fallow ground, because it is time to seek the Lord. And I hear the Lord saying, it's time for you to plow. I said, it's time for you to plow. And I want to tell you something. I didn't grow up out in the country. And I didn't grow up on the farm. But one thing I did learn about the farmers. You can't be weak and have a plow in your hand. Because if you are too weak, the plow will scrub the surface. But the plow won't dig up anything. The mule might pull, but you have to get it in the ground. And I'm here to tell you, child of God, somebody need to ask the Lord, Lord, teach me to plow. And I want to tell you something, that there's come a time in your life, you got to put your hand down, and you got to be undistracted as you're going through life. And somebody on the sideline is going to call and try to get your attention, but you can't look. You got to keep pushing. You gotta push until you get it in the ground. What are you doing? You're setting up for a harvest. You're setting up for what God's gonna do. Shout glory! He said the one that plows should plow in hope. Heaven is said plow in hope. That means I expect God to move. I expect things to change. I expect direction for my life. I believe in God that it's going to work. And so I tell you, keep on plowing. Because the one thing about plowing says, I see something that I don't see when I push. And somebody said, oh, Pastor, why are you dealing with that kind of member? That kind of member, they ain't this, and they ain't that, and they ain't faithful, and they ain't the other. Pastor, you got to let God help you to identify where you need to plow, because glory to God, they may not be faithful today, but if you plow and dig enough, the unfaithful can become faithful. The sinner can be saved. Shout glory! Glory! And I want to tell you, I've been talking. I know mainly the preachers, but I want to tell the people of God that you gotta keep plowing. Don't let the rocks keep you from plowing. Because I want to tell you that there's a harvest that you need to see God bring to pass in your life. But you gotta plow. It might be hard. Your hands may be sore. But keep pushing. Touch your neighbor and say, push! 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 Until you get your blade in the ground. Push until you see God lay it out for you. Show glory. I want to tell you.
Yes, God.
Woo! Glory!
Pastors need people,
yes, God,
to help him with plowing.
Yes,
God.
Yes,
God.
Yes,
God.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Yes,
God.
Because there are so many souls that need to be dug up by the plow sheets of the gospel. But you got to put the blade in the ground. And I'm going
to
tell you something about plowing. Plowing is planning for how you want your harvest to come in. And I want to tell you that you may not look, it may not look like it's going to be real good, but you're not waiting, hallelujah, to see the answer. Say, how do I want it to come in? Oh, glory. If you want your harvest to come in with the rows going this way, you got to plow in that direction. If you want the crop to come in like this, you got to plow in that direction. And sometimes your life and people around you will begin to tell you you need to be busy over here, and you need to be busy over there, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. But I want to tell you, you got to decide what kind of harvest you want. You got to decide how how you want God to move. You got to decide how you want God to let it come in and begin to plow in that direction. They may holler at you and say, Susie, you got a minute for me. Say, no, no, I'm plowing today. I'm pushing today. I'm trying to get it in the ground today. Because the harvest, help me to say the harvest. And don't plow in fear. He that ploweth must plow in what? Well, the Bible doesn't actually say faith. What did it say there? He said hope. You got it. He that ploweth should plow in hope.
Looking for something.
That's right. Faith is my confidence in God. Hope says, I actually see something. I actually see something. I see God taking me. I see something. I see the little work I'm doing today is going to bring back 1,000 times more. I see something. I'm sacrificing kernels of corn. But I see. I don't see kernels coming back. I see blinding stalks. I see I could see through it. And I see now I can't see through it. That's what I see. Don't let the devil rob you of your assignment. Stay the course. I said stay the course. The people around you might say some embarrassing things. Try to put you down. Stay the course. They may call you unfit, but you know who called you.
That's right.
Thank you. And if you fall, I hear the word saying,
if you stumble, you will not.
You want to know what a righteous man looks like? This is what a righteous man looks like. Fall 7 times, but gets back up. So I thought you were saved. A part of what's saved is get back up. Because if you don't get back up, then there is a question mark. But if you get back up, I know you had something. No! I know you got something. There is an assignment that is on you, Pastor.
Yes.
Stay the course.
Amen.
Got you to a place where you can decide what you're going to do and not do. Stay the course. Glory to God. Build the people. Strengthen the people. Encourage the people. Glory to God. Plowing in hope. But then, don't be stuck on the people who come here to church. Because God never intends for your plow to stop at the door.
That's right.
We've been saying this at home, and I'm gonna say it everywhere I go. God didn't give you a seat that he didn't have a soul for.
That's right.
Definitely say a soul in every seat. God didn't give you a seat that he doesn't have a soul that he want to put in it.
Yes, sir.
God didn't give you a seat that he doesn't have a soul that he want to put in it. God didn't give you a seat that he doesn't have a soul that he wants to put in it.
Yes, sir.
Yes. My God. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
I wish somebody would help me to say a soul in every seat. Hey! Y'all know this is the truth. Ain't a preacher in here, missionary in here, that you don't really feel your help when you see a soul in every seat. Now that is the truth. You are inspired.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, God.
Thank you,
God. Say that with me again. A soul in every seat. Now let's add to that. And Jesus in every soul. Can I testify just a little bit? And then I'm going to go. The Lord gave me, I was in Brandon for a number of years, and he said, take this time off and prepare. Because that was a prophetic word that went by Bishop Bobby Henderson back in the early 80s. He said, God giving you a large chunk out of this city. And so I took off some time to make some plans and get some things in order. And we started the church. And we started with about 20, 25 folding chairs. And I started believing God.
That's right.
For soul in every city.
All right.
And there were times that I would come there and that'd be.
I hear you, sir.
And my youngest son would say, Daddy, where is everybody? I don't know. But I was plowing. You know, service starts at 7 o'clock. Doors open at before 7. What you doing that for?
All right.
Plow. And God gave us soul in every seat.
Thank you.
We have to double that little space. You know, 25 may not be a lot to you, but 25 is a lot when you don't have 5. And God gave us soul in every seat. And then, and I said, all right, God, I want some more seats so I can get some more soul. We were in a little office complex, and the Lord said, you know, have them, you know, expand this, take that wall out there. And I went to them and said, now, we can't afford the full price of this, but we can pay this much money. And I promise you, you're going to get it. She said, well, will you be committed? And then after this is over, and then for your next, you do the 12 months, and then when we renew for the next 12 months, you're going up to the regular. I say, no problem there. And glory to God. In 12 months, we had gotten that over the other action, and then God had given us more souls. Because see, we were able to double our time from 25 to 50. And then in our little walk space, thank God that the Lord didn't send the fire department, and we had chairs along those aisles. And then we started filling up, and the Lord said, and my son said, okay, the children are just playing. Can we take them to the back? I said, yeah. That'll give me more seat for the adults. And he put them in the back, and they started having children's church. That's where children's church got started, and we're still doing that right now. Glory to God. And God gave us soul in every seat. And then finally we were so in the soul, we had a little area right outside the door, had a little window in there, and that little place to walk in, and like a little lobby, and there were, we just got so, until the only place for people to sit if they came in a little late was out there in that lobby. Soul in every seat. I said, all right, God, I need some more seats. But ain't no more seats here. So and we started looking, and the Lord gave, and I'm here to tell you that when you want to put souls in them, God will give you an open door. And I said, all right, God, Lord, we want. And then we looked at a place and, they want too much money for that. And then it was, I think they wanted like $90,000 or $100,000. Nah, I don't see that in there. We just keep looking. We just save the money and keep looking and save money and keep looking. And then, glory to God, one of the preachers with me said, Pastor, I think you ought to go back and look at that. And we went back and looked at it again. But it was, the timing was right then.
Yeah,
glory to God. We're back there, still wanted the same amount of money for us. Said, no, we'll pay this much money for it. And I said, well, you know, it's been sitting on the market for this long, so yeah, you know, I guess if there's somebody else that'll pay that, you know. And then he said, well, all I want is this much money out of it. And then we started digging and found out, you owe somebody.
All right.
That is clear. So you can't sign it over to us. So we got to clear this other mortgage thing. So we went back to them, and they said, you know, we've been carrying his loan for all this time, but we want to get out of the loan business. So if you'll do this and pay it off and get your own papers, we'll not. That off. And then I said, all right. And that was one of those times we didn't let the left hand know what the right hand was doing. And we said, all right, you know, and we had enough cash. And then we closed out on the one said, all I wanted this out. We gave him what he wanted out of that. And then we kept working and got in the place, started remodeling it, started working on getting out, and finally paid the mother folks off. And we were under $40,000, under $50,000, like $44,000.
Yes, all right.
All that new property.
Yes.
And we had about 120, not 100 seats. That's double us. Yes. All right.
Yes.
I want a soul in every seat. Glory to God. And we started seeing God. There was a soul in every seat. A soul in every seat. Until, glory to God, had the little seats. And they filled them all up here. Filled them all up there. And the chairs run down the aisle. The doors, like a little vestibule out there, opened up. People sitting all out there. And then we started putting the chairs across to the front. And, you know, and then they had a little altar thing. Had chairs across there. And they finally had chairs on top of in the pulpit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, ain't elbow blown up there. Ain't nothing more sacred in the church than people. So we just put them wherever, because they are souls. And then I said, all right, God, we need more seats. And he says, don't worry about the soul in every seat. Work on many souls in one seat.
Yeah.
I said, oh. So we went from one service to two services. So that same seat hold a 9 o'clock service and a 10:15, a 10:45 service. And God gave us many souls in every seat. And God said, I said, all right, God, we need it. He said, all right, we're going to have to go to three. Said, We need another place. And glory to God. Hallelujah. They delivered the chairs. We got another place. Glory to God. About four times that size. Hallelujah. I didn't do this. God did that. Glory to God. Because I want a place to put souls in the seats. And what's that all about?
Plowing.
Who can do that? But God.
But God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Say, what if your tendons go up? Still want a soul in every seat. What if the tendons go down? Still want a soul in every seat. Going to keep praying, fasting, doing everything we need to do, and then get up behind that pulpit and don't play.
That's right.
Talk to me, somebody. Get behind that pulpit and don't play. Come with a word. Come with a word. Instant. Prepared. Ready. Gulfport has gotten on and taken on some size.
Yes, sir.
the people running from other places. But they like the coast. So they're running up a little further north. And God has put St. Andrew right on the highway. Maximize it. Make sure they know you're here. Glory to God. And don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ that you preach. Hallelujah. Because all the old men that stood here and helped to get this place dug out. And when the Katrina came through and all of that water just messed the place up, y'all could have abandoned ship. But somebody's thought, we're looking for souls to go in these seats. Keep pushing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know sometimes, you know, you may have something, you know, other people had to vote like this. You may not have nobody like this. That they want to make sure that when people come, you know, you see with me, and I'm going to show you how to, you know.
Yes, sir.
So now, I need you to plow with me.
Yes.
Help me to plow.
Help me to plow.
There you go.
Now, if you want your own field, you know, there are places out there, but if you, I heard one of the deacons say, glory to God, you just set the pace and thank God for people who are willing to follow you. Glory to God. Thank God for people who are willing to follow you. And thank God for a wife. Don't take it for granted. Who's willing to stand with you and help you all the way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you're blessed when you don't have to fight at home and fight the devil at church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. She doesn't have to be somebody, you know, some folks won't, you know, want an evangelist, but you know.
That's right.
Has to be the wife.
That's right.
Don't need an assistant, associate.
That's right.
All right.
You're the wife.
That's it.
Okay.
See there, I quit preaching the golden medley.
Because you
need that strength.
You need
that strength. And woman of God, don't shortchange the importance of your place.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't shortchange.
Amen.
He needs somebody to work with.
Yes.
Brody
yes.
at the house.
Yes. Yes. Come on now.
He's Pastor Walker here.
Yes.
He can handle the Pastor Walker stuff.
Yes.
Handle the Brody stuff.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory
and,
to God.
Right. Make him happy.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Glory to God.
That's right.
Y'all grown.
That's right.
Glory, y'all grown.
That's right.
Amen. Giving no place to the devil.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
That's right.
Glory to God. The Lord will be your strength.
Yes, He will.
I encourage you, St. Andrew, and every other church that's represented here. If you didn't get anything out of it, I pray you go home. Believe in God. Start prayer meeting. We're believing for a soul in every seat.
Yes, sir.
A what?
Soul in every seat.
Soul in every seat. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.